Well, again, it is so good to be able to see you today. I know we have a number of guests. It's always interesting on the days that happens, and we're especially glad to have you. And one of our commitments here is that we always take time to unpack and teach the truths from God's Word. So our hope and prayer this morning is that you hear God's Word, not through an individual, but you hear the truth of God's Word. And we've been going through our next, how do you take the next step? And this is what we call our discipleship wheel. And several weeks ago, we started the sort of the first step, and I don't know if that's up and in there, guys, but the first step of the wheel is you come around, and I just realized, is that in the front of the bulletin there? Because I do want y'all to see it if you can. There it is. Ta-da. Okay. The first step is worship. And Brian came and talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that there is a corporate worship. That we understand that gathering together as God's people is a critical component of being a follower of Christ. And so we're glad you're here to worship with us, to honor God. It's not about us, it's about Him. But also we're committed to personal worship. And we walk through having a personal quiet time in your own life and development. And our goal this year is for everybody who's a part of the West Campus, for you to know how to hear God on your own, to have a meaningful, consistent, quiet time with the Lord. That was worship. And then last week we talked about connect, and that the Christian faith is not just a me and Jesus faith. It is a we faith. Jesus came and He said, I will establish my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Or come against it. They'll be coming against it, but it will not overwhelm it. And we're in a massive spiritual battle. We need one another. We have to come together and connect to each other. And so we talked all about that last week, and what it's like to be a part of a family and what families are like sometimes and all of that. And today, we're obviously going to be talking about serving, which we've just recognized. And then next week, we're going to be talking about going. And we go and invite people to come and to be a part of worshiping God, personally or others. So that's our wheel. That's part of how, wherever you are, we want you to be able to take that next step. So when Jesus came into this world, He turned the world system upside down. The way everybody normally would do stuff, Jesus came in and said, I want you to do it exactly opposite. I want you to do it upside down. It's not who can be in charge and who can be in control. It's a whole different viewpoint. In Mark chapter 10, there are a couple of disciples, and James and John, and they came to Jesus and they said, will you do anything we ask? By the way, parents, would you ever say yes to that before if your kids ask you that without qualifying? Jesus didn't either, and He went, what's your request? And they said, you're the King of Kings, you're Lord of Lords. When you come into your kingdom, we want to sit on your right hand and your left hand. And it's like, you guys don't even know what you're asking. But they wanted those key positions of power so that they would be in authority. I mean, Jesus is number one, but you know, we're the guys right and left. And when the rest of the disciples, the other 10, heard about that, well, you can imagine, they were upset. It was like, who do you think you are to be asked to be put in there? That should be me on the right hand or the left hand. We want those positions of power and all. So I want to just pick up, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me. We're in Mark chapter 10, and we're going to hone in on one verse, but I want to kind of give you the context as we move in to this particular verse here. So I'm going to start reading in verse 41, and we're going to come and finish, as you see on your screen there, with verse 45. It says, when the 10 heard about this, they became, guys, come here, let's sit down and talk. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. I mean, this is the way the world is. The boss is at the top. Everybody else does what they say. You want that. That's the way it works. Verse 43, but not so with you. Not so with you. I'm introducing a whole new ethic in the way you do life, the way you do church, the way you do family, the way you do marriage. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What Jesus is saying is, guys, you know, and they were still grasping this, but here Jesus is. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the Creator of the universe. If anybody ever should have been one that should be served, for people to come and serve him, it would have been Jesus. And he goes, guess what? I didn't come for you guys to all serve me. This is the heart of God. I've come to serve. And he gives his purpose in life is to lay down his life as a ransom for many. He sacrificed for all of us in our sin, in our guilt, in our pain, and everything else. He paid that price. That's the way he served us. And he said, and I came to serve you, to give, to love. The ultimate serving, by the way, is to lay down your life for others. And not just like dying for them as Jesus did, but little bit by little bit, each moment in time. So if you're a follower of Christ, your goal is to be like Christ. You're on this earth to love people and to serve them. You see, if you're a follower of Christ this morning, it's not an option of do I serve or do I not. Your only option is where do I serve? Where do I serve? And I know a number of you are new, and you know, when we had all our volunteers stand, that's incredible, and some of you are going, wow, there's a lot of people here serving, but there's a lot more of you that we need serving. Now, why aren't more of us, and just in general in society, why aren't more of us serving? Well, because self keeps getting in the way. That's why Jesus said we must die to self. We can't live in this whole new radical plan of God if we're not really dying to ourselves. Because when we go, this is my time, this is my things, I'm busy. And if you're going to serve, it's going to cost you time and money and inconvenience. And we're not just talking about like one big thing. This is the general things. This is, how do we serve people? Let me give you an incredible story. It happened just, I think, last week or week before. We had a bass player that was playing with us for the first time. First time he'd ever been here at the West Campus. Was this last week, Richie? No, it was last Sunday, all right, last Sunday. And right before the service and all, our host team out there recognized he had a flat tire. So he drove all the way from Anderson, and he has a flat tire. So we told him, and he said, well, okay, I'll just handle it afterward. But he's up here leading. And I didn't know he was going to be in here this, but he didn't come. So one of our host team members, Kevin Gent, went out during the service and changed his tire so that when he got done serving in here, he went out and he goes, and his tire's done. And he said, guys, I've been in church my whole life. I've never been in a place with that kind of service. That's a heart and a passion of serving people, of seeing a need and going above and beyond. I mean, I wish I could tell you if I'd seen that and I was, you know, not up here preaching and teaching, that the first thing of my thought would have been, yeah, I need to go out there and change that tire for him. I'm going to go on and help them afterward, but going above and beyond. And guys, that's my heart. This is my prayer. My goal is for each and every one of us here, all of you who are a follower of Christ, I want us to become people of radical giving and radical service. Just serving people in ways that they go, whoa, what? And so we're a family, and sometimes we're doing great, and sometimes we're wounded and hurting, and sometimes we're broken. And through it all, God calls us to serve one another. By the way, same thing in your marriage. Oh, and by the way, it's fun to serve when everything is going, you know, serve your spouse when everything is going great. It's a whole nother thing to serve your spouse when you're mad at them, right? Because they need to get their attitude right. And I'll start serving when you, and the heart of Christ is, we're to be the slave of all. And I don't know about you, I don't like being a slave. But this is the heart of God. And your next step for many of you in your Christian walk is to say, you know what? I can no longer sit back. I've got to begin to serve. We're called to love and serve one another. Now, maybe you're here and you're going, well, I don't know exactly what to do. Where do I serve? And the answer is it's going to be different for different people. If you have your Bibles again, I want to turn to one other passage. This is in 1 Peter 4. And this is the Apostle Peter who walked with Jesus all the time, and he had a lot of things to learn. And now he's teaching and laying out this principle that he heard from Jesus. In 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 10, it says this: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. So what you need to understand is when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're a follower of Christ, he has given you a spiritual gift. That is a supernatural enabling, a grace to be able to do something in the body of Christ that you could not have done before you became a follower of Christ. It is a special ability. And you might be thinking, maybe the Lord missed me because I don't feel like I have any special abilities. But you do. You do. And if you're not using your particular grace and gift, then we have a hole someplace. Because nobody can be you but you. And we need your presence and your personality, and your serving. Now imagine this for a moment, a football team, and they go out on the field, but one of the players decides just not to show up. He goes, you know what, I'm not that important. I'm just one of the big guys in the line there, and I just block people. I'm curious, how many of you have ever played football, tackle football, flag football, something like that? How many of you ever played football? Okay, there's a whole bunch of us. How would it be if you think they line up, but the tackle is missing? How well is that team going to play against the other guys? And he might not think he's important to anything else. And go, well, we got a great quarterback and we have a great wide receiver. It's not going to make any difference if there's not somebody in that spot. You see, every single play and position is absolutely essential. You are essential. If you're a part of this body, and I know some of your guests, you're here for the very, very first time, and we're excited to have you, and we want you to know this isn't a place where you got to come and be for 6 months and work your way through some sort of huge process of everything before we'll let you serve. You can jump right in. Now, there's some qualifications. Obviously, if you're going to be with preschool or children, because of the day and time we live in, we have to do a background check. But that's a protection for you and for anybody that comes in. But serving in the vast majority of the places we have here, this is your first week. You can be serving next week. We want you to be a part. If God's called you here and you are a regular part, we want you to serve. We need you. We can't have a gap in the line with your not being there. Now, spiritual gift is not the only help in choosing where to serve. Some of it depends on your heart. You know, what about your passion? Are you, is the passage talk about you speaking or teaching, or you have a real passion, a love for children or youth or adults, or maybe it's growing believers, maybe it's reaching out, maybe it's God's giving you a special ability to give financially, maybe you just love greeting new people. You know what it's like to be the new person, and you want to reach out and help them feel welcome. You say, what? Is that really that important? And I don't know any gifts that are about that. I remember a number of years ago, my oldest son, the one who's a Marine, he was 12 years old, and I was unpacking, talking about spiritual gifts. And we got home in church right after the service, and one of his jobs as a 12-year-old was to take the trash out. And I said, Steve, I need you to go ahead and take the trash out. And he looked at me and he goes, Dad, I don't have a gift, a spiritual gift of taking the trash out. I said, oh, I am so glad you mentioned that. He goes, I was just kidding. I said, no, but I know you don't have a gift of taking out the trash, but neither does anybody else in this family. But we all contribute to the trash, and that's your job. There are things called family responsibilities. Does that make sense? And whether you have a gifting or not, that's what your job, you do it because you have a servant heart. You know, I don't think Kevin Gent has a spiritual gift of changing tires or Lori for painting. Now, they have an ability to do that, but it's a heart. It's doing what the family needs. It's seeing the opportunity in the moment and day-to-day life that you live. And then it overflows here in this family. Yesterday, opened up our doors and we had a tent out there for all the folks. We have hundreds of families and kids playing soccer here on Saturday during the soccer season. And so we have a tent out there and we give them free coffee and water. And we just want to love and minister to the folks. And we also opened up the church for the Department of Social Services. They did training here yesterday for foster care and parents because we want to use this church to be a blessing to the community. This isn't ours, this is God's. So we allow them to come in and do that. So they were doing training. There were people here all over South Carolina, North Carolina, some folks as far as Georgia drove up here. So I'm coming in early and the presenter is has her trunk open and she's got to bring in her materials. And I'm walking by there, she's unloading the trunk, and I didn't say, not my trunk, not my stuff, and just walk on in. No, I did what I think most all of you would do. You would go, hey, can I help you carry this in? Because it was a bunch of stuff. It's just keeping our eyes open. So where is there a need? Where is somebody hurting? Where can I serve? How can I serve? My prayer is at the West Campus, guys, we will be a church of radical serving. I mean, for those of you who've been around a while, I know some of the names we've used this morning are kind of in-house, and I could pick a whole bunch of others as well. But can you imagine if we had 30 Lori Wallers and 30 Kevin Gents? Do you think this place would be a different church? I promise you it would. I promise you it would. And we've got some incredible folks serving. But hear what Jesus is saying. We need you. We need you. Let me ask you kind of a little different question. How many of you here are parents? Let me see your hand. How many of you are parents? Okay, that's a whole bunch of us. How many of you parents would say there are times as a parent where it has been incredibly hard, difficult, frustrating, and I did not like my kid? Let me see your hand. Okay? It's all right. Kids are going, what? You did? How dare you, you know? That's right. That's why they're all over there. You see, when you hit those hard times, you guys know that you can't say, I'm sick and tired of you guys. I'm not being a mom today. I'm not being a dad today. Somebody else can do it. No, that's your job. It's his family. You step in those times. And children are a responsibility of a family. And by the way, children are a responsibility of a church. Those aren't just individual kids over there. Those are our kids. And some of you are thinking, they're not my kids. I don't have a kid. Yeah, I don't know. If you're a part of this church family, those are your kids in there. And those are your kids down the hall. And that's your kid rocking in a cradle. Because we're family. And you can look around and see, we don't have thousands of people. But this is us here. And so, because we're a young church with a lot of young families, the primary area where there's always more need than you can imagine is all these precious children. And if you're thinking this morning, okay, I will start serving somewhere where if you could just pick any spot, where do you know you need me? Let me just say, we need you helping with children, especially preschoolers. Because right now we have several of our folks, like Claudia, who's not in the service about 90% of the time, not because she doesn't want to be in here, but because there aren't enough volunteers out there for her to ever be able to come in here. And you know what? If it's just on a few folks, that's when you burn people out. And you don't do that to one another in a family. So this morning, I want you to open your handout there that we gave you. And there's and I thought I had mine up here. There's a sheet called Count Me In. Everybody see this? If you would pull that out for just a moment. Kids, everybody. And this is what we'd ask. We want you to take a moment. And I'm going to just give you a minute here this morning. Talk about learning to hear the Lord. I just want you to pray. I can't tell you where you need to serve. Our goal this morning is that every person who's a part of the West Campus and is a follower of Christ begins to serve. Because we need you. We can't have that hole in the line. And I know some of you are guests and you're going, this isn't my church yet. And I understand. And if we're not the place for you, we're going to pray that wherever you go, you will go, where do I serve? How do I serve? So if you would, give us your name and your email and your phone number. And then here are the key areas. See number one there? Is preschool. And by the way, you're not signing up for anything. except that I would like more information. This doesn't mean next week you're going to be in a classroom. We don't do that to folks. We sit down, we talk, where's your gift, what's your heart, what's your passion, what have you done? You know, some of you go, I just love to hold a baby. I mean, come on, who doesn't like holding a baby? If you don't like holding a baby, there's something wrong, you know? I mean, how cute and precious. Now, you may be glad to go, oh, it's crying, or something else. Mom, this is now yours. But these precious little ones, you say, well, you know, babies are fine for minutes. But have you forgotten what it's like to crawl around on the floor with a two-year-old? And just laugh? A four-year-old coming up telling you their corny little jokes that aren't funny, but they think are hilarious, you know? And you're saying, well, yeah, sometimes they're annoying. Well, guys, sometimes I'm annoying. Not you, but other people. Of course, this is family. So I'd be willing to talk to somebody about preschool, about children's ministry. That's the whole elementary age. We have a Wednesday night children's ministry. And James and Carol, the one out there and that are now back here, also, they lead that up. And we have a student ministry. We help folks who want to get baptized. And we just need some of these, like this one, we just need a couple of folks. We have our hospitality team, which is right now pretty much combined with our host team. Those are the folks that greet folks and welcome people and hand out bulletins. Come on, folks, how hard is it to do that? But what we don't need, if you're a sour person, come on, y'all met sour people. I went in a church one time, and the guy at the door, it was like they just grabbed him and drug him in there, you know. And he's standing there and he goes, welcome to so-and-so. I went, oh, thank you. I mean, I've gotten a warmer greeting going into a funeral than I got going into that place. Well, guess what? If that's you, we don't want you on the host team, all right? We'll talk to you. We need somebody who knows how to smile. That's a radical idea. And look at people and say, that's good to have you. Good morning. Anyhow, Wes, the whole host team, small group discipleship. If you'd like to be a part of one of our small groups, if you'd like to help lead that, we're going to be starting some discipleship groups in the fall. If you'd like to be a part of that, you can check there. Worship, Richie and Tillman and all, they would love, if you know how to sing, you just haven't told us you know how to sing. All right? And some of you played an instrument way back when, but you haven't picked it up in a while. Well, we'd love to talk to you. So, and then there are others of you that are like me. We don't want you singing, all right? And so again, there's different gifts and skills and talents for each person. There's media, sound, lights, the whole front of house stuff back there. It takes a whole team every Sunday to pull a service off like this, to create an environment. That whole first worship thing, this is the first thing people come into to check our church out. And we need a ton of people just to pull this off. Communion, there are times when we do communion, we need folks to be able to help with that. Building and grounds, guys, Lori can't do it all by herself. In fact, one of the problems with a lot of building and grounds people is they're so good at it, it's hard for them to build a team because just give me the brush and let me do it. If you're a good fix it, do it, green thumb kind of person, because we got grounds, we got inside, we need help. And some of you guys are great at that kind of stuff. And then there are folks like me that you don't want touching anything because it's more broken after I get through with it than it was before. And then outreach. We have a whole group there. For example, they've been reaching out to the soccer folks and everything. And if you just have a heart and passion for new people. So these are the areas where we need help and that you can make a difference in people's lives. And a lot of times when I go through this sort of thing, I hear people say, yeah, but I don't feel like my little service really makes much difference. I'm not a superstar. I'm not a Lori. I'm not, you know, I don't preach or sing or teach or and all that. And I'm just greedy. I'm just working with kids, et cetera. And a lot of times we're looking for that one big thing that we can do to make a difference. But serving, like almost every important thing in your life, is best done in little bitty chunks. You see, there is a cumulative value in investing small amount of time in key activities over a long period. For example, you think, like exercise. When you exercise on a daily basis, you know, week after week, month after month, year after year, it is cumulative. It changes you. The same thing with eating right. It's not just eating right. You've gone on a diet and say, I'm going to eat right. And for one day, you eat right. And you go, I don't see any difference. Yeah, well, because one day he's not going to do it. It's eating right day after day after day. Finances. I want to save for retirement. It's that little bit by little bit by little bit. It's the small investments over a period of time make a huge impact. Every area you can think of. Spending time with each of your kids. Spending time with your spouse consistently. And you can't make this up with one big investment. For example, if you've missed exercise for the last 15 years, and you go, I got to get this right, and you go spend 12 hours in the gym tomorrow, you can't make it up. All you're going to do is be in the hospital the next day. It's little bitty amounts. We don't need 50 hours a week. We need 1 hour. 1 hour here on Sundays to serve. So small investments over time change lives. If you don't hear anything else this morning, that's it. Small investments over time change lives. And that's part of why God has said, I want you to serve. I want you to serve. I want to invite you today to join this messy, flawed family of believers and an even more flawed pastor in becoming radical servants. Because you see, guys, next week, a family's going to walk through that door. And they're coming in late. The husband's not sure he really wants to be here, but he's going along. The wife is hoping it's going to be okay because she's not sure she's going to get him back to church. She's hoping that the rooms aren't full so that there's a place for their kids. And that somebody's going to really love their kids for that hour, and that there's somebody that'll show them where to sit when they get in here. And they're going to wonder if anybody's going to speak to them. Or if we're all just comfortable with one another and they're sort of left out. I mean, you can ask any of the guests that are here today, it is kind of weird and awkward coming into the first time in a place. You remember what that's like? And they're wondering, does anybody care? That's going to happen next Sunday. And I want to invite you to help me make this an incredible experience. Because it's not about us, but it's to the glory of God. So would you do this for me a moment? Would you just take your sheet? And I just want to ask you, in a time of just silence, to say, God, is there a place I can serve? Is there a place I can serve? And if you'd fill that out in just a few minutes, we're going to be taking up our offering, and you can drop it in the plate. And what we'll do is we'll go through, and we'll take every, you sign up, and we'll let the leaders of these different ministries get in touch with you. And we'll be excited to see you as a part of one of our teams. And by the way, you try one team after, and you go, you know what, I tried this for a while, and this isn't working. That's okay. There's no problem with that. Then we'll just shift to another one. So would you take a moment and just this time of prayer? And Bridget, come on, up and just play for us, if you would, just in the background. If you just ask the Lord, God, what do you want me to do? So join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you came and set up a radically new world and environment. And you said this isn't a life about getting what we want. It's about a life of giving. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll touch the heart of each person here. One, for us to be better servants in general. When we see a need, when we see a hurting person, we see a flat tire, we see a room that needs help, we see trash on the ground, we just jump in and we serve. And God, I pray right now you'll touch a heart for the areas that we need to be able to create areas and environments here in this church that can love and speak the love of Christ.